As we arrived that evening at the spot near Ambrosivka where the Ukrainian troops were surrounded, they opened fire immediately. We were sitting on top of a BDR, a light armored vehicle, the team and myself. And I almost fell off this BTR than I jumped. I had the hands full of cameras and I hoped that the cameras weren't damaged. It was not the first battle that we saw. We had already been on the spot for 2 months by this time in September and had seen a lot. But it was the first battle in which we were right in the middle of it, between the first and second line of fire. And I remember that the situation was very threatening. It was night, we could not see anything except this huge wall of fire about 200 or 300 meters away from us, which was a result of bombing the area and the Ukrainian positions with Grad. Of course, such a battle is an extreme experience. But what we found in the abandoned Ukrainian positions after days of fighting was still a lot worse. The non-buried Ukrainian soldiers who were left behind, the dead, they were finally collected and buried by the Opolchanian. Their documents were then passed. And in Marinovka, I remember that the People's Militia, the Opolchanie, had buried the dead soldiers at an adjoining field.
Ich hatte mich seit
Since the beginning of the year, I'd been concerned more and more intensely about the things happening in Ukraine. And I realized that this conflict, this war, was shown in very different ways, very contradictory ways.
Berichterstattung sehr widersprüchlich war.
In principle, the war did not take place in the Western and German media.
In den westlichen Medien, auch in den deutschen Medien, de facto nicht statt. Und das war ein Grund.
That was the reason why we went down there, why I went down there too, to see it with my own eyes, to see what was going on there. At a certain time, 400 journalists were accredited in Donetsk, but in reality, they were not there. That means in Donetsk, Donbass, and in combat zones and in the affected areas, we have never really seen these Western teams. The coverage was usually from Kiev or Kharkov and included reports written by Ukraine Crisis Media Center. But on the spot, we met no one.
Ветер горы облетает, баю-бай. Над горами солнце тает, баю-бай. Листья шепчутся устало, баю-бай. Тихо яблоко упало, баю-бай. Подломился стебель мяты, баю-бай. Желтым яблоком примятый, баю-бай. Месяц солнце провожает, баю-бай. По цветам один гуляет, баю-бай.
The day I came to this area was the 17th of July. It was the day MH17 fell from the sky. And MH17 has changed this war, changed everything there. I came out of the civilization, of a country and an environment in which you pay with plastic money, where everything works, in which one has electricity and water, where you have to be careful on the road not to be hit by a car. And I suddenly found myself in a country where all that stopped working. And one of the greatest dangers on the road was not the traffic, which did not exist, but impacting grenades that could kill you. And instinctively, one wonders, how can that happen?
And what happened there, of course, began on the Maidan.
When I found out that every Sunday or Saturday, a lot of people gathered there on the main square in Kiev. It is called Maidan, or the Square of Independence. It is the official name of this. Really a lot of people just gathering together, shouting some demands to the authorities. So I decided that, okay, people want to come, to shout, to jump together, and after that they return home and have their normal working week again. Okay, one more Maidan, it won't last long. So why worry?
Is with you, America is with you, I am with you.
Just the atmosphere, something was brewing there, and something really, really, well, threatening. There was a feeling of threat there.
What I saw in the mass media about the Maidan showed a peaceful demonstration that was dispersed by brutal force.
I remember a speech by Victoria Nuland in which she said she had been on the Maidan and had seen peaceful demonstrators who sang hymns and prayed for peace while they were brutally beaten up and shot down by the security forces. On the other hand, there were more and more pictures showing the complete opposite, which showed no peaceful demonstrators, but the incredible violence on the Maidan. Violence that was used against the security forces by the so-called peaceful protesters.
We stand with the people of Ukraine in their search for justice, human dignity, security, a return to economic health, and for the European future they have chosen and that they deserve. We witnessed the appalling show of force by government forces who turned riot police, bulldozers, and tear gas on the Maidan demonstrators as they sang hymns and prayed for peace. You only have to be on the Maidan to feel the energy, to feel the hope of Ukrainians coursing through the center of Kyiv and across the country. People are of all ages, of all classes, of all walks of life, are taking ownership of their future and coming out into the streets to demand a European future. They're doing so peacefully, with great courage, and with enormous personal restraint.
What happened on the Maidan was the complete opposite.
The police finally got the order to not to answer to anything, any provocations. They were just standing there, burning alive. And the protestants were already armed. They were armed with Molotov cocktails, they were armed with clubs, they were armed with the weapons, actually. You see, all this beginning of this violence, it left the impression of quite good organization. Because you can imagine that these Molotov cocktails, they should be prepared at least. People should be prepared to throw them. Because just to imagine an ordinary person, a human being, taking this burning petrol and throwing to another human being, you should overcome something inside you. Because it is a weapon. It is a weapon to kill, and not just to a bullet. It's a weapon to burn a human being. It's a terrible death. So these guys who were doing this, they were prepared. And, well, after that, you know that there were a lot of international talks, and finally the president agreed to make all the necessary concessions to the opposition that time. But it wasn't enough. Actually, it wasn't the aim of them. Because when the decision about this agreement between the opposition and the authorities, when it was announced on the Maidan, people said that they weren't satisfied. And there was, right now, this person is quite known, it is Parasyuk. He just jumped out on the stage and started shouting that it's not good enough, the president must go. The night after signing these documents, the protests came to their final phase, I believe, final stage.
Even in the past, the mass media coverage already was not what one should actually expect of it. There were always only certain interpretations, narratives, and opinions which were to push people in a certain direction. Already since the mid-90s, since the war in Yugoslavia. But in early 2014, I had enough of it, as they started no longer working only with misinformation and embezzling of information, but rather operating with open lies.
Sondern als begonnen wurde mit offenen Lügen zu operieren. Und das war
That was one reason for me to see the Maidan with totally different eyes, and everything that followed made it clear what direction we were going. The direction to provoke an open war.
Eine der ersten Auswirkungen des Maidans.
One of the first effects of the so-called Maidan revolution was the referendum in the Crimea. As the inhabitants of the Crimea said, if this is your
So at that time the Crimeans, they voted against creating a separated Ukraine, and after that they had some delegations. And when those West Ukrainian patriots, they were coming to the Crimea with one slogan: the Crimea will be Ukrainian or depopulated. Of course the Crimeans remember it. You can imagine that such a phrase is quite hard to forget.
And people in the Crimea just realized that now a path had been taken which was not theirs, and they acted quickly. And of course they also acted with the support of Russia.
По первому вопросу, вы за воссоединение Крыма с Россией на правах субъекта Российской Федерации, получено положительных ответов 95,5%.
Мы земляки великой России!
The Crimea was a part of Russia for some hundreds of years. So they never stopped being Russians. Never, ever. And they just, as they said at that time, as they keep saying, and I think that they have all the rights to say it, they just returned home. And that's all.
The outcry of the world was, of course, huge. Putin had annexed the Crimea and would suppress all minorities there. But what all Western media apparently missed is the fact that Putin enacted a law that rehabilitated all minorities ever deported from the Crimea. They have all rights and also the right of compensation. However, the secession of the Crimea by the People's Referendum was a signal for the entire southeastern Ukraine to simply not accept what had happened in Kiev and rise up against that. This meant that in Donetsk and Lugansk the protest movement strengthened, even more so because the Crimea had successfully seceded from Ukraine.
Sich erfolgreich abspaltete von der Ukraine.
People from the southeast of Ukraine, they saw a great hope in it, and they started to speak very loudly. Before, it was just manifestations against the coup, which was illegal. They started to speak about federalization. Again, this moment is very important, very. Yeah, because right now these people, they are called separatists and terrorists and whatsoever. But at the very beginning, there were no words about separation. There were no words about sort of jumping out of Ukraine as a country. Yeah, people wanted just federalization, just to have more rights to decide again what language they speak. What language they teach their children in, And of course, people wanted federalization for economical reasons, because having more rights to decide the direction of the economical development, they had a possibility to have these bonds with Russia, like the economical partner and cultural partner, intact.
The protests that took place in these areas showed that this time it would not be that easy for the so-called new rulers in Kiev to push the country in a certain direction. A division of the country was obvious. Then the so-called anti-terrorist operation, or rather the war against the own people, began in mid-April, when the first troops were sent to the southeast.
Weapons was sent against civilians, citizens of the same country. It's quite difficult to believe it, because in any state there are special forces like the police, or maybe special services of the police, who usually take care of such riots or whatever you call it, but not the regular army. At the beginning it was really just regular army, military personnel, and they weren't ready to fight. They weren't ready to kill civilians. So there were a lot of talks, there were a lot of questions. Civilians asked them a question, actually, why are you here? And what are you going to do with us? We are not criminals. Офицер сказал, мы спрыгнули к машине, стали оружие. Все. Какой приказ вы выполняли, когда сюда приехали? Ребята, все, сейчас начинаем разоружение. Все, все. Камеры, все, убрали камеры. Всех убрали. Люди приехали. Ну, это вам сейчас придет.
Переживай. Это вы обратно его ставите? Нет, я показывал, что я сдал боёв.
Все сдали?
Да.
Там тоже?
Не знаю, туда дошла очередь. Ну, здесь сдала машина.
Командир сказал сдать?
Да.
Это те броневики, которые забрали у украинской армии сегодня?
Их никто не забирал, они сами перешли.
Сейчас на окраине города прямо тут стоит колонна украинских военных. Как вы думаете, как они будут действовать дальше? Что случится с ними?
Ну, они тоже должны перейти на нашу сторону.
А вы слышали, что первая колонна украинских военных уже сдалась и переехала?
Нет, такой информации не было, не проходила такая информация.
Вам одно говорят, вам другое говорят. Так же самое там.
Кто кому врет, непонятно.
Neither part was ready or was willing to take up this escalation, so the forces that were behind these ideas, they had some provocations to whip up again this escalation.
Und eindeutig klar zu machen, dass an dem Weg, den Kiew...
And to make it very clear that Kiev's opinion was the only one that counted, they used all means in order to make the people realize that they had to bow now. Odessa had been completely peaceful until early May. Even the protests had been peaceful there. But Odessa is a city of a great importance for the country. And that's why it was Odessa a horrible scenario was designed for.
Odessa
меня, ребята, держите, свяжите его.
Здравствуй, сука!
Сама порвала, пацаны!
Блядь, сама порвала, давай, отходим.
On the 2nd of May, Ukraine died. Ukraine as a country, Ukraine as an idea, Ukraine as whatsoever.
Мы сейчас все занесем в здание.
Если сюда придут с правого сектора, на православный...
Значит, я все с православной палатки вынес, спасаем все иконы туда, все имущество, и сами заходим в здание и будем там отбиваться.
Ваше действие до конца, я так понимаю, до последнего. Да.
It was not a fatal coincidence. It did not happen because the building was just burning. These people had to die to give a signal as strong as possible to the southeast.
Wie es nur geht zu setzen für den Südosten.
When this fire started, or actually this fire was started, those people, they just couldn't get out on their own because some of them were really gravely injured, and there was no time to take them out. According to those young doctors, it's about 200 people died there.
Es ging darum, Odessa.
The aim was to make a priori clear to Odessa that it was a part of Ukraine and that people in this part of the country were not allowed to speak out against what had happened on the Maidan.
The European and American mainstream media initially spoke of a fire which had resulted in some death. Later it was explained to the Western media audience that pro-Russian separatists had caused the fire by the improper handling of a Molotov cocktail. Headlines also spoke of some demonstrators who had risked their lives to save several Russian-born Ukrainians from the trade union house. Victims became perpetrators and perpetrators became heroes. Facts were twisted in the similar way in reports of the Western media when on July 17th the passenger flight MH17 with 298 passengers on board fell from the sky.
From the White House after a Malaysia Airlines jet was shot down over Ukraine, killing 298 people.
A von MH17, von dem Absturz dieses Flugzeugs.
I first learned about the crash of this aircraft MH17 in Moscow at the airport.
Ich bin an diesem Tag.
That day I was flying over that area at almost the same time.
Fast gleichen Zeit über dieses Gebiet geflogen. Und das ist bis heute so.
And it is to this day that the black boxes have remained in London and the material has not been published.
Es ist bis heute so.
It is to this day that the radio communication between the tower in Kiev and the tower in Dnipropetrovsk has not been published. Because it was not Moscow that instructed the flight to get lower to that level and let it into that area. It was Dnipropetrovsk.
Sondern von Dnipropetrovsk. Einige Tage nach dem Absturz waren wir.
And a few days later, we came to the crash site ourselves. And at that time, it was clear that this plane had been shot down.
So, ich bin jetzt hier an der Absturzstelle von MH17. Das ist also der Hauptaufschlagsort des Flugzeugs. Die weiteren größeren Trümmer liegen dort hinten, also die, die man auch sehr oft im Fernsehen gesehen hat.
Und wenn man auf dem Feld steht,
when you are standing on the field, among all these ruins, when you are smelling burnt kerosene, when you are starting to look at details on this debris field, and this rubble is no longer just big black piles of twisted metal and materials an airplane consists of, and you register more and more details.
Man registriert mehr und mehr Einzelheiten und kann natürlich sehen, dass ein Buch mal einem Menschen gehört.
And you can see a book that belonged to a man or a small bag in which there still remain residues of medication. All these plush toys, which are laid down at the edge of the crash site. On this spot there are always candles and also flowers. Where it is so clear to whom plush toys might have belonged.
Was ich als problematisch betrachte im Moment ist, dass der Zugang zu diesem Platz restricted ist. Das heißt, dass hier möglicherweise Beweise verschwinden, die zur Aufklärung notwendig sind und essentiell sind. Und ich denke, das ist im Moment einfach Absicht.
Und was mich gewundert hat damals schon, war,
what surprised me, even then, was that while the world's interest to MH17 was incredibly large, Kiev apparently showed no intention to explain what had happened and to make sure that investigators could come to the site.
Sicherzustellen, dass Ermittler vor Ort kommen können, anscheinend überhaupt nicht bestand. Es bestand das Interesse daran.
There was only interest in finding a culprit immediately and imposing sanctions. There was no interest in an actual investigation at the crash site at all. And I know how desperate people around the crash site were. It was summer, it was almost 40 degrees, and dead bodies were lying in their gardens and in their homes, and no one was allowed to take them away until the investigators came there.
Dort wegholen, bis die Ermittler nicht da waren. Auf den Titelseiten.
The front pages kept saying that pro-Russian separatists would hinder the investigation and no one could enter the crash site. That is not true. If everyone could go there, and I say it from my own experience, as we could get there. Why could not the investigators? I remember the People's Militia and the leaders of the republics doing everything possible to give access to that area, even though under their control, but they always allowed it. I remember them trying to make everything possible for the investigation teams, for the OSCE, and especially for the expert of the airlines. And every time the investigators were on the way to that area, Ukrainian troops began to fire at the road to the crash site. So the investigators often had to turn back.
Es tat sich nichts, es wurde eine Ermittlungsgruppe.
Nothing happened. An investigation team was created, but it didn't include international aviation experts, and there were signed confidentiality agreements on the investigation results, so nothing was published. And the only thing that was confirmed by 4 months of the investigation of MH17 was that it had been and would be neither transparent nor objective. Heute ist Dienstag, der 11. November 2014. Ist der zweite Tag, an dem wir warten, zur Absturzstelle von MH17 zu kommen, zusammen mit der OSZE. Und auch dieses Mal klappt es nicht. Es ist in der Vergangenheit öfter vorgekommen, dass diese Touren, die für Journalisten organisiert wurden, dann abgesagt wurden und die Experten, wenn sie denn überhaupt irgendwo hingefahren sind und die OSZE allein gefahren sind. Ich kann nicht sagen, aus welchen Gründen das so ist, aber es ist, wie gesagt, in der Vergangenheit öfter vorgekommen und es sieht im Moment alles danach aus, als dass wir heute hier nicht fahren werden. Das heißt also, diese Fahrzeuge werden sich wahrscheinlich heute hier wieder keinen Meter vom Hof bewegen. Ja, wir sind jetzt hier an der Absturzstelle von MH17, an der Stelle, an der die Cockpitteile liegen. Die werden jetzt gerade katalogisiert und im Anschluss dann danach verladen. Wir wissen nicht, wann genau die Verladung passiert.
Im Moment sind also
vor Ort Experten, die die Teile begutachten. Sie entsprechend fotografieren von allen Seiten, um sie dann entsprechend auch wiederzuerkennen, wenn sie dann vom Ort des Geschehens weggeschafft werden. Wir haben also eben ein paar Dokumente gefunden. Hier auf dem Feld, die Georgi jetzt den offiziellen Stellen übergibt. Es waren zwei Pässe von einem niederländischen Paar. Es ist jetzt fast 4 Monate her, dass dieses Flugzeug abgestürzt ist und es ist auch fast 4 Monate her, dass ich hier war an dieser Absturzstelle. Seitdem hat sich hier sehr wenig verändert, um nicht zu sagen gar nichts. Aktuell sind die holländischen Experten unter OSZE-Beobachtung vor Ort und sammeln die Trümmerteile ein bzw. katalogisieren sie, um sie dann für den Abtransport fertig zu machen. Allerdings ist dieses Flugzeugunglück das erste, von dem mir bekannt ist, dass keine internationale Kommission sich mit diesem Thema auseinandersetzt, dass keine internationale Kommission vor Ort ist, weder die malaysischen Experten noch russische oder andere internationale Experten befassen sich mit diesem Thema oder dürfen sich mit diesem Thema befassen. Und das lässt befürchten, dass es noch eine sehr, sehr lange Zeit dauern wird, bis der Absturz von MH17 aufgeklärt wird,
wenn er denn offiziell jemals aufgeklärt werden wird.
Last volume, last volume, please, please, please. Das war die Straße nach Ilovaisk, nach den Kämpfen um diese Ortschaft. Und wir sind eben durch diesen Ort gefahren und haben einiges gesehen an Zerstörung.
Man bemüht sich natürlich, an die Orte zu kommen.
You naturally strive to get to the places where something is happening, and over the time you get contacts in combat units, and you get an opportunity to go with them.
Zu Einheiten, zu kämpfenden Einheiten, und man bekommt die Möglichkeit, mit ihnen mitzugehen. Und wir sind dann.
And then we were one of the first journalist teams in the summer, in August 2014, who got to travel with a unit of the Opolchenia, of the People's Militia.
Unterwegs gewesen das erste Mal. Und ich habe sie gefragt. Ich habe auch die.
And I asked the Russians who had voluntarily joined the units in Donbass, who used to be miners or insurance salesmen, who used to work in banks or technical institutes, why they were there. And the answer was mostly the same.
Warum sie da sind. Und die Antwort war eigentlich immer die gleiche. Sie haben diesen aufziehenden.
They had seen the rise of fascism and volunteered to fight against it.
Gemeldet, dagegen zu kämpfen.
Решение. Я зашел на официальный сайт Стрелкова, iCorpus.ru, нашел телефоны и позвонил туда сразу. Вот. Там сказали, что сейчас нужны люди только с боевым опытом, у меня его не было, но сказали, на всякий случай оставьте координаты. Я и не надеялся, что кто-то когда-нибудь мне ответит. Но, тем не менее, в скором времени все произошло. Да, надо заметить, что это было в конце июня, когда Стрелков писал, что Россия должна срочно вводить войска, что все у них крайне ситуация крайне тяжелая. Вот. И, конечно же, уже я не мог дальше медлить. Вот это надо было делать сразу. Так и было сделано. Вот. В конечном итоге, благодаря некоторым моим познаниям, меня взяли именно туда, куда взяли. Вот. И, конечно, я просто счастлив служить в одном из лучших подразделений, но попал сюда, конечно же, не по заслугам.
Вот, как-то все это сильно очень забеспокоило. Тем более, что еще раз повторюсь, дед мой отсюда, он с Запорожья, с деревни Большая Белозерка. Вот, родственники у меня в Днепропетровске, то есть я тут проводил детство, вот, каникулы на Украине. И очень сильно все это зацепило. Вот, а оттенок фашизма и национализма в конечном итоге подвел меня к такому решению приехать сюда воевать.
Самое ужасное на войне – это то, что гибнут, я имею в виду эту войну, то, что гибнут ни в чем невинные люди. Женщины, старики, дети. Вот это вот самое ужасное. Разрушенные города, разрушенные села, Сегодня мы ехали через Семеновку вот, за Саур-могилой. Там полностью поселок, можно сказать, сравняли с лицом земли. Но люди духом не упали. Работают, восстанавливают. Вот это самое жестокое. Гибель ни в чем невинных детей. Обстреливают кварталы мирные. Как так можно, я не знаю. Кем нужно быть, чтобы это делать?
Я приехал защищать русский народ. Для меня люди, которые здесь, мирные люди, это те же самые, что люди, которые у меня дома, ну, то есть моя сестренка, они могли оказаться в той же самой ситуации, и не надо защищать этих людей. Я считаю, что это по-мужски.
The ополчение, the people's militia, was initially far from being a real army. There were some groups that formed and took up resistance, smaller units. And this principle held for a long time. However, their warfare was asymmetric, which caused the Ukrainian army problems it could hardly encounter.
Der sie nur schwer begegnen konnten. Andererseits wurde im Sommer 2014.
On the other hand, in the summer of 2014, the process of unifying these structures was initiated in order to use small, powerful mobile units subjected to the central command.
Die aber einem zentralen Befehl unterstellt.
Und es war eben. And it was the end of August, early September, when large units of Ukrainian troops were surrounded in cauldrons of Ilovaisk and Ambrosivka. And I remember that we arrived in Ambrosivka, and the same evening there was a sudden order to leave for a battle.
Und noch am selben Abend der plötzliche Befehl kam zum Ausrücken.
Аккуратно там, узнай, что там по мирным, если им где отойти, взрывай мост. Ну пройди на ту сторону и все. Давайте, давайте, левее, левее. Давай сзади пристраиваемся. Все, наши
Of course you're scared. When you climb a tank for the first time and you know that there is a combat order, you wear your armored vest, you have your equipment, you have all kinds of thoughts in your head.
Und man bereitet sich insofern vor.
You're preparing yourself by telling the commander in which pocket certain documents and letters are, in case you do not return alive from the mission that is the subject of your report.
Dass man von diesem Einsatz, von dem man berichtet, nicht wiederkommt. Also unabhängig davon, ob man sich auf zivilem Gebiet befindet.
Regardless of whether you were traveling with a unit or stayed in a civilian area, in 2014 Ukraine was the most dangerous country for journalists. In no other country in the world, in percentage,
more journalists were harmed or even killed.
Aus meinem Umfeld.
From the teams I worked with, there were 6. Three of them accompanied an 8 convoy that was attacked, although on the buses there were attached large signs with the word children.
Auf den Bussen groß Kinder stand, die Schilder.
Three of them were reporting on the spot when they were traveling with units at the airport in Donetsk after a tank attack of the Ukrainian army. The airport of Donetsk has become a symbol.
Ist ja zu einem Symbol geworden. Dieser Flughafen ist das Tor.
This airport is a gateway to Donetsk. Those who control the airport might enter the city from there. And this airport still has other specifics. It is one of the best developed airports in the territory. There are infinitely long tunnel systems, and there is a good reason for that. It is one of the most strategically important military airports. The airport is the most competitive position.
А где танк вонючий, когда сюда катается на?
Который он находится за новым терминалом. Он сюда даже не показывает.
А ну, вот новый терминал, покажи, где он ориентируется. Где ориентируется? Вот новый терминал.
Дайте я сучеса поебашу.
Да подожди, стой.
Здорово.
Здорово. Этот, смотри. Вот там новый терминал, он вот так идет, новый терминал, вот сюда старый терминал, вот, вот этот переход, вот он идет. Он, сука, вот здесь где-то катается.
Коча, вот здесь вышка, вот здесь за новым терминалом, да?
Да, вот здесь, возле вышки, он к нам не выезжает вообще.
А по идее, вот с той стороны хорошо должно быть видно, с стороны, да, церкви.
Да, да, да.
Und an diesem Flughafen,
the Donetsk airport was a hard nut to crack even for the German troops during World War II. And if this airport had fallen, there would have been an open gate to Donetsk for the Ukrainian troops to take over the city. That's why this airport was defended by all means. By all means. The airport in Donetsk is a killing field now. There are so many fighters and soldiers fallen at that airport, and I have never seen so much destruction in my entire life.
Und ich habe in meinem Leben noch nie so viel Zerstörung gesehen. Wir fuhren also mit dieser Einheit mit.
So we went with this unit into the night and then reached this burning field after a few kilometers of driving somewhere outside between Ambrosivka and Ilovaisk.
Brennenden Feld. Irgendwo außerhalb zwischen Ambrosivka und Ilovaisk. Die ukrainische Armee.
The Ukrainian units had the assurance of the People's Militia at this time, so that no more people had to die. That they could get out of the cauldron through a safe corridor towards Western Ukraine.
Die ukrainischen Einheiten haben sich aber geweigert.
But the Ukrainian units refused to surrender their weapons and tried to break through out of the cauldron again and again. Which ended for them in a disaster in Ilovaisk, Ambrosivka, and even in Debaltseve.
Die Gefechte dauerten mehrere Tage.
The battles continued for several days and they were sometimes very violent.
Und als sie vorbei waren,
when they were over, we looked at what was left of the Ukrainian positions.
Was übrig geblieben war von den ukrainischen Stellungen.
So, wir haben jetzt mal netterweise ein paar Kollegen von Russia 24 mit auf den BTR genommen.
Und was man dann findet.
And what you find is, of course, ammunition and guns and vehicles. A lot of them destroyed.
It was firing, but it blew up.
So, letztlich sind wir am dritten Tag angekommen an der Stelle, die also massiv unter Feuer genommen wurde, wo wir vorher die Felder gecleared haben, das heißt also geschaut haben, die Einheit geschaut hat, ob alles okay ist. Und wir sind jetzt hier an den Stellen, die also die ukrainischen Stellungen waren, die so massiv beschossen wurden. Und schauen uns jetzt ein bisschen um hier.
Das Schlimmste.
The worst of it is dead soldiers left behind.
Toten Soldaten.
They are then recovered by the Opolchani and handed over to the Ukrainian units. Many Ukrainian soldiers who had been surrounded in border areas at the beginning of the fighting fled to Russia. And there they were not treated as prisoners. In the cauldrons, mostly left to themselves without any food, without any supplies, the Ukrainian soldiers on the occupied territories also faced the massive hatred of the local population. Some of them have actually lost any humanity and do whatever they want to on the occupied territories. Others are completely torn apart when they realize who they are actually fighting against, that it is their own people and not Russia.
Look понимаете, вы, блядь, пришли, блядь, брат против брата. На свою же территорию. Вы об этом не задумывались, нет?
Unlike members of Nazi battalions, the regular Ukrainian soldiers were usually treated very well in captivity.
Wir werden uns jetzt in diesem Gebäude zwei ukrainische Soldaten anschauen, die während der letzten Gefechte gefangen genommen worden sind von der Narodnaya Oblachenia, und wir werden uns anschauen, wie es ihnen geht.
Die 10 Tage, die Sie jetzt hier verbracht haben, würde mich natürlich interessieren, wie Sie behandelt worden sind. How were they treated at the last 10 days?
Как с вами обращались последние 10 дней?
Нормально, хорошо обращались. Не трогало или
кто не трогал, кормили сигаретами.
So you had food?
Yes, they were fed. They were given something to smoke.
Okay. Had you had any injuries or any kind of that?
Вы ранены или как-то синяки, может, побои?
No,
everything is fine.
Okay. Und mich würde vor allem auch interessieren, wie Sie in die ukrainische Armee gekommen sind. Sind Sie freiwillig in der ukrainischen Armee oder sind Sie Wehrpflichtige? Are there volunteers of the Ukrainian Army or are there drafted?
Вы как в украинскую армию попали? По призыву или же как добровольцы?
На учения вызвали.
They were told to participate in some exercises and then they were drafted.
Ihnen wird gesagt, sie müssen dort gegen...
They are told that they have to fight against the Russian aggression there, against the Chechen guerrilla gangs that have invaded Ukraine.
Die Ukraine überfallen haben. Und... Irgendwann begreifen sie...
At some point they realize that they will ultimately be used only as cannon fodder. And those who still have an opportunity to realize, they are actually lucky because they have survived the battle. And we were allowed to take them with us to hand them over to their mothers.
So, wir bringen jetzt die Jungs weg von dem Ort, an dem sie jetzt 10 Tage gefangen gehalten wurden. Und bringen sie nach Snischnir. Und von dort aus können sie dann nach Hause.
If you have spoken with these Ukrainian soldiers, good and evil become quite blurred, because some of them are good guys. And I still hope today that these two did not return to the battlefields.
Die ukrainischen Stellungen, die verlassenen ukrainischen Stellungen nach den Gefechten zu sehen.
Seeing the abandoned Ukrainian positions after the fighting was a very profound experience. Seeing Saromagila went much deeper.
Ging noch viel tiefer.
When I saw Sarmagila in the summer of 2014, the monument was still standing. When I returned there in September, Sarmagila was razed to the ground. The soil there is soaked with blood for decades to come, and that is why it is such an icon. Sarmagila was a monument with a huge obelisk and many large statues, and it was a place where people came every year to remember what had happened in World War II. It is a hill which was of strategic importance at that time, and it is still even today, because from that hill it is possible to control the whole region with the artillery. And Sarmagila, of course, became strategically important in this war again. It was still the hill from which the surrounding areas could be controlled. And so, a few defenders of People's Militia dug in there and defended this hill.
Vor einigen Wochen hat eine Einheit der Opportunie, bestehend aus 159 Männern, diesen Hügel verteidigt gegen das Bataillon Azov. 17 von ihnen sind am Leben geblieben und das komplette Bataillon Azov ist dabei vernichtet worden und der Hügel wurde gehalten.
Was man wissen muss zu Sarmagila ist,
what you need to know about Sarmagila is that not all the defenders necessarily died because they were shot by their enemies. They died because they defended Sarmagila in a way that could not have been more self-sacrificing. When they had run out of ammunition, they let the opponent come up very close to their own positions and then drew their own artillery's fire on themselves.
Понимаете, если б мне было 40 лет, я бы взяла автомат и пошла бы стрелять этих фашистов, которые пришли и разбили мой город. Я выросла на Донбассе, я родилась в Германии, кстати, под американскими бомбами. Меня мама родила в лагере под американскими бомбами. Я не думала, что я доживу до этого. И когда подошла, и вот там были могилы, могилы мальчиков погибших, защищающих вот эту Саур-могилу. Я расплакалась и сказала: простить нельзя этого, понимаете? Нельзя простить. Вы, пожалуйста, извините меня за...
Нормально.
За это, потому
нормально.
Что это фашисты, это не люди, понимаете, которым нет прощения. Кстати, говорят, люди выступают, говорят, немцы того не делали во время войны, что делали эти фашисты, украинские фашисты, понимаете? Простите меня за слезы, за... Вы мне извините.
Also eben eine etwas schwere Attacke auf das Zentrum von Donetsk. Und wir sind jetzt raus aus dem Baumschalter und haben uns ein Auto geschnappt und sind jetzt auf dem Weg zu der Position, wo die Geschosse die Granaten eingeschlagen haben. Wir wissen jetzt noch nicht genau, welche Art von geschossen das waren.
Wir werden es aber gleich feststellen und das entsprechend auch aufnehmen. Gut, die Quarantäne. Hier in einem zivilen Wohngebäude. Das getroffen wurde. Es gibt mehrere Tote. Das ist eine Deckung. Slow, are you filming?
Yeah.
Where are you? Okay.
Oh boy.
Okay, wir müssen uns jetzt beeilen, dass wir wegkommen, weil wir jetzt gerade Yosemite in der Gegend sind, die eigentlich das Hauptziel ist. Hinter mir ist das SBU-Gebäude. Das sieht man also dort. Das ist das Hauptziel der Angriffe. Wir sind ungefähr 100 Meter weg. Was soll ich jetzt machen, dass wir hier wegkommen? Okay.
Und wenn ich höre, dass in den westlichen Massenmedien immer die Rede davon.
And when I hear the Western mass media always speak about so-called separatists being responsible for the shellings of the cities, it is relatively easy to detect, and the OSCE is on the spot for that, from where projectiles are coming. And that Donetsk and Lugansk are not being bombed by the People's Militia, but by the Ukrainian army that may be attacking civilian targets just partly deliberately, but always accepts, at least tacitly, the fact that civilians die.
Zum Teil absichtlich zivile Ziele angreift, aber immer mindestens billigend in Kauf nimmt, dass Zivilisten sterben.
Ну, когда была начало весны, получается, у нас началась весна, у нас было все нормально, только говорили, что в Киеве там что-то плохо. Но мы же не обращали внимания, но не думали, что до нас дойдет. Но мы сидели, как все нормальные дети, а потом, когда начали у нас аэропорт, мы возле аэропорта живем, у нас начали бомбить рядом. Но мы боялись, нас постоянно отправляли там по домам, чтобы мы никуда не выходили со школы. Мы все в подвал побежали, страшно. У нас окна повыбивали, такие звуки. Мы с девочкой маленькой сидим, ей 3 годика. Он говорит, бабушка, ну что это такое, где мама? А мама поехала в Донецк, видно, из-за какого-то места находили на аэропорт, а попадала на нас. Мы выходим, у нас вот такие осколки валяются по всему двору, окна поразбивались. Ну, было страшно очень. Потом меня сразу, ни в каком виде, так и отправили туда, к моим родственникам, в Дружковку, а потом я сюда переехала.
А у нас было, я немножко проснулась в 5 утра, и мы же рядом с аэропортом живем, и там начали летать десанты. самолеты. Ну, было очень страшно. Последний день, когда мы тут были, мы спустились в подвал. Потом мы приехали сюда, потому что не было в Песках, ну, не было жизни. Там отключили газ и свет, и все. Ну, мы находились в подвале, а потом переехали сюда. Вот Полина, ну, вот эта моя сестра, она постоянно просыпалась ночью, плакала, говорила, что мне страшно. Стреляли очень сильно, было видно взрывы, шел дым постоянно. У нас вот у моей подружки там, у нее дом полностью сгорел, и у нее дядя, ну, в легкий попал осколок, он погиб. Много осколков валяется, ямы большие находятся у нас.
Смотри, бегом, чтобы люди были в окопах, смотрели, вдруг подготовка и кто-то пойдет.
Что там, Настя?
Люди мои там, они под заборами.
А что вы можете сказать таким же ребятам, как вы, но в Европе? В Германии, в Англии, во Франции?
Ну, что им повезло, что они спят ночью, что они скушают нормально, что у них, ну, дома спят, что они всегда время дома, что у них остались родные друзья, не поезжал никто. Вот, например, как он у меня, вот есть подруга лучшая, она взяла и в Херсоне, а я ее видеть не могу, она уже все, она, мы с ней были лучшие подруги, мы с ней друзья детства, мы вместе все, а вот уехала она и все, и жалко-то. А вот у них повезло, вот друзья каждый день видят, не то, что мы сейчас.
Ну, это очень хорошо, что вот у нас вот с Катей, с Полиной, там, да, остались родители живы. Ну, у меня есть лучшая подруга, у нее сестра, и получается, у нее родители, они ехали, получается, их машину обстреляли. И папе попало в затылок, ну, то есть он уже погиб, уже не все. А с мамой, мама поранила очень ногу. И они, там рядом был лес, я ей звонила, она мне рассказывала, что рядом был лес, и, ну, она как хотела маму оттащить подальше, мама у нее, конечно, да, там много весит, но она как мама пыталась оттащить подальше, чтобы никто никто ее не нашел. Они сидели там очень долго, она захватила с собой такой небольшой чемоданчик еды, они питались там бутерброды, чай делали, ну, чай у них был заваренный уже, они пили чай, бутерброды, продержались 2 дня, потом, когда сильно захотела есть, она позвонила бабушке, бабушка в России. И получается, ну, мама умерла, ну, не смогла. Бабушка доехала, ее оставила, похудела немного. Мне фотку даже присылали. Она вот была где-то как Катя, стала худее меня. Вот, она сильно похудела. Бабушка отвезла в Россию, теперь она с ней, ну, с ними живет. Она постоянно плачет, ну, постоянно спрашивает Бога, за что и такое, что вот родители погибли. И вот она именно видела, вот, как папа убила, как мама погибла.
Wir hatten heute Morgen etwas heftige Bombardierung um 6 in der Früh. Versuchen jetzt dorthin zu kommen. Das Problem ist, dass die Straßenbahnschienen dabei zerstört wurden. Wir jetzt also nicht damit dahin fahren können, sondern uns ein anderes Transportmittel suchen müssen. Und deswegen im Stechschritt morgens durch Donetsk rennen.
Ein weiterer Tag in Donetsk mit massivem Granatbeschuss, Haubitzen, Gradfeuer und wieder trifft es nur zivile Ziele. 3 Kilometer von unserem Ort entfernt, an dem wir wohnen, hat es eine Straße und zivile Wohngebäude erwischt und das Haus der Kultur, Dom Kultura. 5 bis 8 Menschen sind dabei ums Leben gekommen. Unter anderem sind 3 Menschen in einem Auto verbrannt, das einen direkten Treffer erhalten hat.
Thank you.
Очень печально, очень. Вот зачем это все делают? Этот Порошенко, эти военные, которые посылают воинов своих, нас, своих людей убивать. На что это делает он? Дай Боже, чтобы...
Мама, все закончилось, дай Бог.
Дай Боже, чтобы закончилась эта война. Чтобы уразумел этот Порошенко кровопиец. Сколько он крови попил, сколько он людей убил. Сколько он разрушил городов, сколько домов, сколько людей без жилища, без воды. Питания нету. Вот до чего наша страна, наши руководители довели свой народ.
Also nicht ganz einfach hier durchzukommen.
Я когда дежурил, это произошло часов где-то 7 начала, может, 8, может, попозже, я услышал сильный гул и удар. Я ж с кресла, ну, упал, получается, в подвал. Подвал там немножко дальше. Потом все прекратилось, я вышел, как посмотрел тут. Детский сад, наш завод полностью, все разрушено.
Donetsk, Hospital Cleaning Building Number 9. At the entrance, relatives and close friends of the family are waiting. The mother is crying. She has nothing to say to the camera. What can she say? She will see her son in a small coffin in a few minutes. The stories of all those people whose bodies now in the morgue awaiting identification fade before that little body. The city is dark and scary. The child was killed by a shrapnel that hit his back. His father died too. The boy, Sasha, was only 4 years old. Children are defenseless. And the statistics are cold. 50 bodies per day, one child per week. During the period from August to January, 34 bodies of children came to the house number 9.
When four-year-old children die in bombing raids, and we are trying to show it to the world, and there's a command like, oh, a dead Colorado's child, that's good.
Ein totes Colorado's Kind, das ist gut. Colorado's ist der...
Colorados is a derogatory term for people in Donbass who are labeled as so-called pro-Russians. The term stems from the St. Georgian ribbon, which many wear here, and which comes from the Second World War as it was attached to many awards in the Red Army. The colors of this ribbon, black and orange, are similar to those of a Colorado beetle. And Colorado beetle means in Russian Colorados. When it became clear that Donbass would keep resisting the Ukrainian government's stop payments.
Тому що у нас робота буде, у них немає. У нас пенсії будуть, у них немає. У нас піклування під дітей, під людей, під пенсіонерів, під дітей буде, у них немає. У нас діти підуть до школи, до дитячих садків, у них вони будуть сидіти в підвалах, бо вони нічого не вміють робити. І так, і саме так ми виграємо цю війну.
Since August and September, many people in the Donbas have been paid no salaries and no pensions.
О, смотрите, що з народу зробили. Мені пенсії не дають. В чому я стояла? Я 50 років отработала на одному. Що, яка жінка
чує? Країна вам не дає, так?
The situation was exacerbated when, in addition to the military one, the economic blockade was imposed. Since then, 250 state-owned energy enterprises had been shut down, and even then, before the coming winter, it became clear that the civilian population was facing hard times. Not only were they bombed, they were also deprived of any livelihood elsewhere.
Выходили, когда был обстрел, бомбили сильно очень наш город. Маленький хороший городишко был уютненький, из которого сделали руины просто. Мы, ну как, жилье наше, оно как бы есть, у нас стены есть, но мы остались на зиму без окон полностью. Я разбомбили напротив нас дома, жилые четыре дома полностью сгорело. Это так страшно.
У нас бомбят вот так.
За бах, что бах. Нас убивают украинцы?
За что
эти дети бах, бедные страдают? Где нам зимовать зиму, я не знаю. Денег сейчас мы не пенсии, ничего мы не получаем. То есть, ну, вот привезли нас сюда ребята-ополченцы. Вот такая вот история. Было у нас все. Была работа, было жилье. То есть стабильная была у нас жизнь, как бы, ну, обыкновенных людей. Вот зарплата, пенсия. То есть дети у нас, сын учился, этот меньшенький Дима ходил в садик у нас. Было все нормально. И в один миг у нас не стало ничего. То есть шахту разбомбили. Я не знаю, где мой муж будет работать. За что мы будем дальше жить?
Как делать?
Спасибо, дети родные, что вы пришли. Спасибо.
Нет.
Господи, когда же так кончится?
Мы будем всеми силами стараться.
Да я вообще не знаю. Детей бьют по чура, когда 1 сентября начал. Что они делали? Они ж по школам стреляли. Сколько детей поубивало? Школы поразбомбили.
Пошли. Граждане, без слова,
уделяйте за вас. Я же в войну родилась и в войну, наверное, умру. Спасибо большое. Ой, спасибо вам огромное.
Спасибо. До свидания.
As the situation began to spiral out of control, Russia decided not to watch longer and to send the first aid convoys that have been coming regularly since then. Without these aid convoys, survival of such nerve-touching facilities as hospitals, schools, and other social institutions in Donbas would have been impossible. Yeah.
But for the West, the territorial integrity, which must not be violated, not even by aid convoys, is more important than providing aid for people who have nothing left at all. And there are areas in the Donbass, like Lugansk or Golovka in the end of 2014, early 2015, which were so cut off that people died of hunger and would have continued to starve without this help from Russia.
Verhungern und weiter verhungert wären, wenn es diese Hilfe nicht gäbe.
The moment when the position of Ukrainian troops gets worse, Kiev is ready to return to the table of negotiations. It has also turned out that all the ceasefires ultimately served only the goal of reorganizing the Ukrainian troops. No truce has been used in this war to negotiate and find a solution. The recent statements of Poroshenko, even now during the ceasefire, about conquering back the Donetsk airport and entire Donbass, are a clear message. What you definitely need to know about Minsk too is that during the negotiations with Putin, Merkel and Hollande, Poroshenko, the president of the Ukraine, specifically excluded the matter of Debaltseve as a proposal of the Protocol of Minsk II. And the reason for that was that he still counted at the time on solving the problem of Debaltseve in a military way. That Kiev does not want peace is clearly seen in its increased activity. Since early 2015, there have been more and more American, British and Canadian instructors in Ukraine. There is evidence of arms supplies, Humvees for example, and separately heavy guns that can be installed on these Humvees. There is evidence of the use of NATO ammunition. This anti-tank ammunition, which contains uranium, has multiple effects.
Und diese Munition wirkt mehrfach. Sie wirkt zum einen natürlich primär auf das
It affects primarily the target it is fired at, but because it is radioactive, it also affects the environment for the long term.
In dem Land, in dem sie benutzt wird, auf dem Land und in der Umwelt entsprechend langfristig weiter. Eine andere wahrnehmbare
Another development is the attempt to let the current Ukrainian government and particularly President Poroshenko shine in a good light to the world.
Mit dem Einsatz ausländischer Militärberater und Ausbilder.
Having been provided with foreign military advisors and trainers, Ukraine allegedly wants now to get rid of their fascist battalions Azov and Idar, while camouflaging the rest of them into a shimmering white west on the world stage. This is the reason why Poroshenko seems to be fighting against the fascist battalions now, proclaiming at the same time that he wants to conquer Donbas back. He just hopes that the international global community will jump to Ukraine's side and support this. The area around Slavyansk, Kramatorsk and also Donetsk is important not only for the people who live there,
These areas have also economic value for other stakeholders. That's why these areas are sold, mainly to American companies. Chevron and Shell put their hands on these areas because it's there where there are gas resources that could be accessible by fracking. Ukraine is also being turned into a testing ground for genetically modified food. That's why Monsanto is deeply interested in Ukraine. Besides, Ukraine should be brought close to the West to be used as a source of cheap labor slaves and as a country that is nothing more than a dirty backyard of Europe. That's why this war must go on. Because the IMF, the European Union, and the US government need this war. Because without Donbass and the Crimea, Ukraine has no value for those people as a bridge to a war against Russia. And ultimately, it boils down to forcing Russia into this conflict in order to weaken it militarily and economically. And you understand that this conflict is not limited to the territory of Ukraine, and that it is not essentially about who splits off from whom. The latter is just a consequence of the former. It is the resistance in Donbass that, paradoxically, prevents Ukraine from being used as a tool, as an instrument of war against Russia. That Donbass stood up like that, that they defended themselves like that, has surprised the West and even Russia. And as paradoxical and absurd as it sounds, the defenders of Donbass have prevented tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of young men from Ukraine from being pulled into an open war against Russia and losing their lives. And I just wanted you to know it.
Как за краниной лежал ей, да под зеленой, как за краниной лежал. Прилетела птица, мой ворон начал каркать над кустом, и над ним явился черный ворон, чуя лакомый кусок. Ты не каркай, черный над моей головой, ой, да, чёрный ворон, я казак ещё живой. Ты слетай, чёрный ворон, как цук матери домой, передай платок кровавый моей жидке да молодой. Ты скажи, чёрный ворон, что женился да на другой, чисто поле за рекой.
хлеба кустом є. Штик булатний було дружком є.